send us will keep our end up, and they will know that they've been playing against the famous Old Dog Blues.
A very good morning as we begin your footy weekend right here on 91.3 Sports FM Breakfast with the Blues. This show is brought to you by our official WA Network supporters group of the Carlton Football Club, the WA Blues. Your host today are myself, Mel Hall, joined by Yuri Bilsich. Welcome back, Yuri.
Thanks for having me again, Mel. Really appreciate it. And you know what? This is, for the first time in a long time, I feel like there's a sense of optimism at Carlton, you know? Sitting 8-3 at the moment, 6th on the ladder. It feels though the nucleus is ready to attack. I know, okay, we may not win a premiership this season, but the foundations are well and truly set, because this is the sort of the scary part in a way. We've had the same list, you know, for basically the last, you know, 3 to 4 seasons. It's taken, you know, time to gel a little bit. You know, we've had the likes of Charlie Curnow being injured on the sidelines for a good, you know, 2 seasons. And hopefully, you know, Caleb Marchback does come back, you know, sooner than later. So I'm really excited about just the first half of the season, how we've sort of, you know, gone about it under Michael Voss, who's really instilled, you know, the toughness that was missing, you know, for so long.
Oh, Yuri, we can talk for hours about that. But we're on the show this morning. We need to look at Blues. We will look at Blues and AFL news. We're going to preview the upcoming game, and we against Essendon on Friday night. We will speak to our guest interview today is WA's own and 1995 Premiership player Matt Clappe. We will cross live to the Hyphen, David Rees-Jones, in the much-anticipated shirt front that we do every week. We're going to provide information on the WA Blues events and everything else we can squeeze into the hour. But, Yuri, we couldn't do this without our loyal sponsors.
Yes, we cannot do, Mel. We will. First, we would like to thank WA Blues major sponsor Hyundai WA, Platinum sponsors Allmark & Associates, Master Picture Framers in Cannington, Tech Tiger, Barbro Butchers and ICU Finance Group for their continued support of Breakfast with the Blues.
We're going to start with our Blues news.
So let's begin first with the latest in, you know, in Carlton news at the moment. And we'll begin first, I reckon, with the mid-season rookie draft, which took place on Wednesday night. So basically, Carlton had 2 really crucial selections. And this came about, of course, with Jacob Wiedering's AC joint injury against Collingwood midway through the first quarter. So in terms of, you know, being, you know, thin on stocks, we decided to acquire Sam Durden, used to play for North Melbourne. 22 games in total. The 25-year-old had an outstanding sample season with Glenelg, especially the last couple of seasons. And listening to him speak on AFL.com.au about the opportunity again to play in the AFL, he said he's really excited about it, you know.
Yeah.
He's really embracing the opportunity to play. And I think, though, this is the great part, Mel, just before we move a little bit further on, that his versatility as a backman too. He's super athletic for a guy who's 199 centimetres, covers the ground really well, is a very good, you know, aerial mark. So those things are going to fit perfectly for the Blues for the next 6 to 7 weeks while Wiedering is on the sidelines as well. And hopefully, you know, him and Lewis Young, who's done an outstanding job since crossing over from the Western Bulldogs, you know, complement each other nicely.
And we also need to touch on Hayes as well, our second acquisition, who is another fantastic pickup for us.
Yeah, he's also a very good addition too, Mel. I know he's sort of a little bit, you know, undersized in terms of, you know, the midfield nowadays being 181, but what that does though a little bit, Mel, is though he's a very good runner in himself. He can play, you know, half forward when need be, because now we've got, you know, the versatility in terms of our midfield, you know, the size with Cripps being 6'5", Matt Candy being 6'2", Walsh being 6', you know, adding, you know, Adam Chera, who's 6'2". It's a bigger midfield than most in the competition.
Absolutely, yeah, yeah.
So
exciting times. And, you know, then we, I would just like to do a little shout out to John Lloyd. Rest in peace, and we would love to, you know, just inform everyone that might not know how close we were to actually having Matthew Lloyd as a father son. Back in the day, John only played 29 games for Carlton. He thought it was a surety that he Matthew Lloyd was actually going to be signed for the father-son, but they changed the number of games that required the father-son rules. So he was a champion. Like, he actually presented Walshy. He wore the number 18. So we would just like to say, Vale, John. And yeah, rest in peace, mate.
Absolutely. You know, what could have been to Mel with John, and, you know, perhaps, you know, Matthew playing with Essendon, if John had played, you know, another 21 more games to reach the 50-game milestone. We've seen Lloydy, you know, kicking 900-plus goals with the Blues, but, again, that wasn't meant to be. So, you know, once again, rest in peace, John, and, you know, your contributions, you know, are going to, you know, live on forever as well. Even though, okay, we talk about it, Mel, you know, with players, right, you know, we talk about, you know, legends of the game that play, you know, 200, 300 games. But it's those other players as well that make, you know, a short impact in a short period of time, which are also so valuable to the game.
And he was like the matriarch of the Lloyd family. Like, he's actually, you know, doing some research and things. It's just, you know, yeah, very sad.
It is. Why don't we sort of switch our attention a little bit now to the latest in AFL news, because it has been, you know, another fever-pitched week in terms of news, and Lance Franklin's one-game suspension for his hit on Trent Cotchin last Friday night in Sydney's narrow 6-point win over the Tigers, you know, really sort of turned heads a little bit as well, especially at the tribunal in terms of, you know, the comments that were made towards Franklin, which really did cross the line.
Yeah, this is wrong. You know, everyone knows I'm not a Buddy fan, but no one deserves to be spoken to. Like, they called it a coward punch, or a coward hit. And we talk about it every week. We talk about the, you know, mental health and everything of players and things like that. How can the tribunal come out? They've now had to make a formal apology, and it's just wrong. Like, you know, Buddy, I think he deserved a week, but, you know, it's up in the air.
Yeah, that's true.
It just doesn't need to come to this point, you know.
No, I think we've got to be very careful in terms of how we use words to, you know, describe actions, because we don't want that to sort of, okay, first things first, though, we don't want to see those type of hits in our game. That's, you know, we need to cancel that out. So that is very important. But to use that term coward, though, really crossed the line, you know, and I think it's very rare, you know, in Buddy's nature. Okay, because we did see it first when Cotchin did, you know, impede in his way a couple of times, which did lead to Franklin doing it. So
look, and this is another thing as well. You've got Buddy, who is such a role model to so many young kids who look up to him and idolise him. What kind of example is he setting, you know? And then it's now being turned back because of what's been said, you know. I don't think it's right. I don't think it's right across the board. I don't think that behaviour, yeah, Cotchin got under his skin, but he was doing his job. Like, yeah, that's exactly what Cotchin was out to do, is ruffle him up, and he did. So,
yeah, absolutely spot on, Mel. I think, yeah, just in that line as well, I think, again, just need to be, you know, very careful in terms of how he sort of articulate things. But I think, too, as well, with the AFL and the tribunal itself, I think, you know, sort of about time they needed to really sort of stamp down on these type of incidents, because I think I remember from about 3 years ago with Ben Cunnington, he got about 3-4 fines, I remember, during the 2019 season. And you would have thought after the second fine that he would have been rubbed out for a week or two, but that wasn't meant to be. So I think they've really, you know, done their homework over the last, you know, 3 seasons, the AFL, to sort of really stamp out these type of actions. So that's been, you know, a good thing so far moving forward. I think before we do head off to our first break, Mel, because we've got Matt Clappe coming up very shortly as well, Carlton 1995 Premiership player, had such a major role, especially in his first year at the Blues. How about last Sunday's game against the Pies? Unfortunately, I wasn't able to watch it. I thought it would be on Channel 7. It wasn't meant to be. It was on Fox Footy. So I listened to the whole game, and of course it was going to be riveting. Considering what we've done thus far this season, Mel, I would have taken 7-4, 6-5 through the halfway mark of this season to be 8-3, though, and especially what our arch rivals for a long time, Collingwood, have done under Craig McRae this season, to be sitting whatever they are, 6-5 at the moment, and completely changed their brand of footy from, you know, really conservative, you know, very conservative in terms of, you know, kick mark game and moving the ball very slowly, to all of a sudden being, you know, daring and taking those chances through the middle of the ground. It's all really build up as what was a very, you know, exciting game for the first time in a long time between the two.
It was an absolute thriller, and we had an amazing event too. We had a function at the Carlisle, and we had awesome attendance, but the atmosphere, everyone was on the edge of their seat, and it was a ripper game. I'm obviously disappointed that we didn't win, but I'm still really proud of how we played. We can talk about the Walshy free kick, but Vossie doesn't want to really delve into that too much. He said we didn't take on the opportunities that we should have earlier in the game, where we could have converted those goals. We could have, executed the plays. It was heartbreaking, but in the end, our boys are still up there and we are still playing some great footy.
Because I believe though as well, Mel, in the last, you all said about 2-3 seasons ago, and this is no sort of knockout blight on David Teague, but if we fell 4 or 5 goals behind, or say, for example, conceded 4 or 5 goals in a row, we'll just drop our heads and think the game is over. You know, it's all too hard to catch up. And considering we're 23 points down, we've basically, 8 minutes left in the game?
Yep.
To really stage that comeback
surge,
as well.
That surge was so exciting.
That's the biggest part I've sort of, really taken away, that resilience and endeavour not to give up, even, with our backs against the wall. And the commentators on ABC, that I was listening to last Sunday, said that in terms of, when Wiedering went down, we did look shell-shocked. Yeah, we did, because that's what throws out all our proportion. The spine and the back line starts with Wiedering. And then when he goes out with the AC joint, it's left to guys like Lewis Young, Lockie Plowman, who has to end up playing as the second tall defender, which is in his arsenal. So, again, although, yes, we're disappointed we lost, still to take 8-3 through the first half of the season, I think it's just, a real testament to what we've done this season. And, moving forward, I'm just super stoked.
Yeah, no, it's absolutely exciting. And I think Saad played a cracking game. He was incredible last week. He really stepped up. Chera, Walshy, as we all know, Walshy's still getting more votes for their coaches' votes. But, we've just got some dynamic that is just working. And, we didn't get the 4 points like we say, but it's just been, just to see the fight back, that surge was so exciting.
Yeah, there's a lot more, conviction now. That's what I believe too. When you add also George Hewitt to that mix as well from the Sydney Swans, and his importance not only as a tagger, which he predominantly played with Sydney, but also to play that, sort of inside role and then on the outside. Like, his contributions, though, and also he's another big-bodied, tall midfielder as well, so that just only adds to the versatility that the Blues have in their midfield. So it's positive signs moving forward, and really the second half of the season is going to really test our mantle again.
Yeah, and, I think that, obviously Withers being out, hopefully it's only for 6 weeks, but there's talk, obviously we mentioned Durden just a little bit, the news, Sam Durden coming in, there's talk that they're going to get him in there straight away.
Yeah, they have to. That's 100%, because
we need the size.
Yeah, we don't want Lewis Young or, Lockie Plowman having to fight their way through, especially next Friday night with Peter Wright. And then you also, Archie Perkins can play a little bit, up forward as well, even though he's 6'2". So Peter Wright's the one that we'll have to really sort of, contend with. But sort of believe, though, they actually did show up before we do head to the break, Mel, about the midfield comparisons between Essendon and Carlton. They were showing it up on the graph about the size difference. And the size difference is substantially vast.
Because we've got so many, our bigs are all out. We've got, we've go to the injury list and we've got, we've got Big H, Pitto,
our key players, Zach Williams.
Williams now as well. And then, we've just got so many massive outs. But if we can still sustain the kind of footy that we did play for that after Widows went out, I think Tommy did a great job. I think Jack, like I mentioned even before the show, I'm so impressed with Jack Silvani. He's just a reliable, he's just happy to, he does what he needs to do. He's just been so great.
Yeah, just also with Jack too, Mel, he's contributions in the ruck, especially that game last year when we played Collingwood in front of no crowds, zero. His game as well, especially when the legendary Silvani passed away last July. Yeah. And where he kicked that goal in the second quarter, because we were down 23 points, I remember. And we thought, okay, well, here we go again. And then he kicks that goal, and so it really spurred us on, especially that second half and the last quarter. That was, you know, really fitting just to see, because it was such a, you know, emotional week. And we've seen with Silvani, you know, the expectations, yes, they're high. His dad and his legendary grandfather had illustrious careers with the Navy Blues. But to see what he's been able to do now in these last couple of seasons is, yeah, he's only just following those footsteps. And to really find that niche now, which he's found.
And I think he just is underrated. Like, I don't think he's getting as much credit as he should, you know, just because of his I love him. He's on my wall. I've got that. I've got the Silvani's there, and I've got that, you know, that mark when he pointed
after he kicked the goal.
And I've got him and Serge and Sauce. There's on my wall, so it's a pretty special piece of my heart. But anyway, moving on.
Yes, I think we should head to our first break now, because 1995 Premiership player Matt Clapper, who had such a significant role, especially his first season with the Blues, will join us here on Breakfast with the Blues on 91.3 Sport FM. We'll see you right after these messages.
Your WA Blues are the official Western Australia supporter group of the Carlton Football Club, established by Carlton in 1992. We regularly gather as one to watch live games of the Mighty Blues. Here, we provide a fully inclusive, family-friendly environment with raffles, auctions, but most importantly, watching the Mighty Blues play live. For more information on the WA Blues schedule of events and supporter services can be found on our website, wablues.com, Facebook, Instagram and Twitter. Go Blues!
Hey Blue Baggers, Patrick Cripps and Darcy Vessio here from the Carlton Football Club.
Are you in the market for a new car?
Carlton's co-major partner Hyundai offers Blues members up to $1,000 cash back on any new Hyundai vehicle purchase.
For over 25 years, Hyundai has driven our club forward as a co-major partner, supporting us as players as well as you, our members.
From the Kona to the Palisade, there's a Hyundai vehicle to suit every Blue Bagger.
The Carlton cashback offer is available across all Hyundai dealerships in WA, so let us and Hyundai steer you in the right direction.
Terms and conditions apply. Head to www.carltonfc.com.au/Hyundai to find out more.
Is your business website stuck in the age of dial-up internet? Is your business website lost in the jungle on page 20 of Google? Perhaps no one can find your business online, and your competitors are stealing your customers. It's okay. TechTiger can help. For professional web design, digital marketing, and getting your business found in search engines, visit techtiger.com.au. TechTiger, proud sponsors of the WA Blues.
Station sponsor. With over 20 years of experience, let Blair Buckingham, your master framer, help make your memories lasting ones with his framing expertise. An extensive range of products assures you will find what you are looking for at Master Picture Framers. Fast, friendly service and professional custom framing in all aspects answers all of your framing inquiries. Our display of original artwork is always available in our showroom, and Blue Baggers displaying their 2022 membership card can receive a 20% discount on all framing. Master Picture Framers Cannington, come see us today.
And they will know that they've been playing against the famous Old Dark Blues.
Welcome back, everybody. You're listening to 91.3 Sports FM Breakfast with the Blues, hosted today by myself, Mel and Yuri. Now we're going to throw to 1995 Premiership player Matt Clappe. Good morning,
morning
Matt,
guys.
And welcome to the show.
Morning, Mel. Morning, all.
Matt, how are you? We actually missed you a couple of weeks ago at the Buzz dinner. You were out with COVID.
I was, unfortunately. Recovered now, a little cough and a little heady still here and there, but yes, the dreaded bug got me in the end. So I believe it was a fantastic night, fantastic cause. Old Buzz, he's a great man.
It was an awesome night, and hopefully we raised lots of money for Buzz and his cause. But it was fabulous. It was actually really heartwarming. You know, all the support that's around.
Yeah, well, obviously. as a fantastic support group here in WA that we're talking to today as well.
Matt, I'm very interested to start first. Before you came to the mighty Navy Blues in 1995, your time at the West Coast Eagles, you played 29 games from 1992 to 1994. Just talk about, you know, how hard it was for you to sort of solidify your spot in a team of superstars, and then when Coach Mick Malthouse basically told you that, you know, a spot on the Eagles team, you know, moving forward would be hard to sustain.
Yeah, I was thrilled to obviously get drafted about 21, when I was 21 years old, end of 1990. So West Coast were right in the thick of obviously playing finals and getting to grand finals and things like that. But it was a super team. The likes, obviously, Peter Matera, thank God he's all right. But, you know, players like Peter Matera, Andrew Lockyer, Brennan, Kemp, Heady, obviously, John Pike, Carl Langdon, the names just keep going on. It was pretty tough coming from East Perth, where I was probably more half-back flank. And then when you're trying to get a game on half-back flank and you've got worst folded Guy McKenna, and then you've got Pios Waterman, Danny Laidley, again, the names go on that slot into a half-back flank role. Yeah, it was pretty tough. So I just decided to try and fill a gap wherever there came. And most of the time that was on the bench. But, usually you got on the ground for a little bit here and there. So that was the hard part about it. You spent what games you did get from Mick were probably more on the bench. You might have got a quarter or two by the total of the game. So it only lasted probably 2 to 3 weeks before you had to go back to the Waffle and back to East Perth to get some fitness and play some footy again. So, yeah, some tough time.
And then, Matt, in 95, what a turnaround. you know, obviously went to the Blues and it was our, you know, you took out the premiership. And what, how, could you, were you pinching yourself? Like, it was, must have been surreal.
Yeah, look, definitely. You know, at the end of 94, with West Coast, my contract was up with them, and talking to Trevor Nesbitt, it was like, oh, look, West Coast were happy to sort of sign another year or two on a similar scenario where, you know, you might come and play a bit more of a backup type role here and there. So I was playing and pretty happy at East Perth most of the time. So just decided to go into the draft, the March draft, and see what happened. And ended up, thank God, at Carlton at the time. And yeah, basically got over there and jumped straight into the first game after a couple of scratch matches. And the rest, as they say, is history. But yeah, got a few goals and a few kicks and just worked really hard to try and keep my spot. And as the year rolled on, it just turned into obviously a fantastic year that I am still pinching myself. I was involved in again with a number of great players.
And touching on those great players, like you played, you know, with Kernahan, Spalding, Pierce, Greg Williams, Dean Rice. Is there anyone anyone significant that you know saw inspiration by, or?
I suppose the players for that year. There was a lot of us that had come from other clubs, if you like. I mean, at West Coast, there was obviously myself, but there was a number of other players there that couldn't break in and get games. And I actually had more games than some of them. The names were like Matty Connell, you know, Paul Pios when he went over East as well. Jason Heatley, who came over to St Kilda. So there was a heap of players that just couldn't get an opportunity at West Coast at the time. And had gone to other clubs, and really really shone because they got an opportunity. So that was probably more my motivation
within Carlton as well. You had Dean Rice and Brad Pearce and myself and Earl to a certain extent when, you know, he was at Melbourne beforehand. There was a number of discards, if you like, where, you know, we'd come to Carlton, got an opportunity, and we're actually playing really good footy and had a little bit of desperation behind us, I suppose. So, yeah, probably more those players that have come from other clubs were my motivation. And I mean, the club had a great feel at the time. Everyone gelled, in a sense. And again, there were players that were on the edge there that couldn't get a game at the time as well because everyone was playing so well. So I think it's just an opportunity out there a lot of the time. And the current sort of climate with COVID, I think you're seeing that with some players that are coming out of the waffle straight into an AFL side and actually holding themselves very well. It's just getting that opportunity. And there's a lot of players out there and a lot of people out there that just don't get that, unfortunately. So that's sort of been my motivation when I was playing all the way along.
And Matt, obviously you were at the Eagles, which has come out to be quite a turbulent time for them, you know, with everything. And what is the different? Like, can you explain? Is there a different dynamic between the two clubs? Like, was you know, Carlton obviously long established, been around forever. Was there a difference in the sort of yeah? What's the main difference between the clubs?
When I went to Carlton, there was a major difference. Probably more just the history involved in Carlton. We West Coast at the time in '95. Obviously, we're a very young club still. So that history, where you walk through the door at the football department, and on the wall is Buzz taking a huge mark. You've got the 200 club pictures down the corridor of Ken Hunter, who was an idol. You know, or heaps of players that have just go back to the start of the century that West Coast didn't have. I mean, our greatest player at the time was Tom Worsfold, and you know, you're running around with him at the time as well. So yeah, that was probably the main difference. West Coast, obviously, at the moment, not going very well, and clubs have that. It's a real. Out on the field, it's a real confidence thing, and you see it where clubs and teams playing just terrible football, and then 2 weeks later they're actually playing some great ball. What's the difference? It's virtually the same team. It's a real confidence and confidence in your teammates as well, and not only yourself. And so when you're playing bad footy, you generally, most people lose that confidence, shrink away, be a bit insular instead of when you're actually playing good football and good football as a team. You're always got confidence in the player next to you that he's going to do his job, and you don't give that a second thought. So, yeah, from a club point of view, they were very different at the time. I think that's sort of levelled a fair bit these days. But, yeah, they are certainly going through a tough time. I'm sure they will definitely come out of it. They've still got some very good players there, and I think that's probably the biggest thing that they're missing at the moment, is just that confidence in themselves and in each other that I know will come back. But then it's player stocks and things like that as well have a great impact.
Matt, I'd like to sort of go back to the 1995 pre-season draft as well, because Carlton selected you with their first pick, 13th overall. What are the conversations you had with the Blues in the lead-up to the pre-season draft, and did you have any other talks with the 12 clubs ahead of the Blues before the draft?
So the end of 94 was basically going into the draft, which was going to be the March draft for older players. At the same time, I was getting married to my wife, Kristen, in November. And we ended up on our honeymoon up in Langkawi, called contracts and basically phoning back to Glenn Bartlett. You're in Perth at the time, talking to clubs and as a manager in a sense, trying to get me to somewhere else. And main conversations we had were with Adelaide. So we basically thought we were going to go to Adelaide. Had a couple of other conversations, Shimmelbush with North Melbourne, and one very small conversation with Carlton, with Shane O'Sullivan, that said, you know, we would be interested, and that was probably about the extent of it. But certainly with Adelaide, we had discussions about jobs, because my wife's a phys ed teacher, you know, places to live, things along those lines. So we were pretty much under the impression, and you never are in the draft, but under the impression that we were probably going to Adelaide. And then driving along on the freeway to work, the morning of the draft, I got a call, and it was David Parkin. He said they'd just picked me up. And I was coming to Melbourne to play for Carlton. And I said, thought to myself, God damn, it's going to be cold and wet. But then it hit home, and what a great club to come to. And literally 2 weeks later, I was staying across the road in the hotel from the club, and starting to play in a couple of scratchies.
Matt, obviously, I'm assuming you still follow the footy, but how good is it to see our Blue Boys up and about this year?
Fantastic, actually, and we all walk a little bit taller, that's for sure. The games, obviously, last year they got so close a number of times and sort of just fell away or couldn't retain the footy and ice games out, and we got run over the top of, and this year, certainly the start of the year, that changed. They were able to hang on to those tight games. They still made us all have heart attacks towards the end of them, but they got over the line and have won, and obviously have got a heap of confidence from that. And obviously there is a confidence instilled by Vossi there as well, so he's doing a great job. But it is great. I would have loved to have knocked the Pies off last weekend, but that wasn't to be.
It was very close, that one, wasn't it?
It was. Unfortunately, I think, probably we would have pinched it because Collingwood, I think, were playing a little bit better throughout the day. But certainly in the first part of the year, we've played some great football. I just feel at times when we're, 5 or 10 goals up, we go back to a kick down the line and lose control of the football, and that gives other teams the opportunity. Like when we were playing Sydney, they just seemed to be able to get the momentum back because they got their hands on the footy. And then luckily for that one, we held off. But it is great watching the team play, and certainly there's a lot of confidence out there from supporters as well that the team's going great with some good young players that are really gelling together.
And it's very exciting, and I'm just would like to mention, I'm not sure if I think I've, when we were talking during the week, I briefly mentioned it to you, but we have an amazing season raffle for all the WA Blues supporters out there. And it's a signed 95 Guernsey by yourself and Earl Sporting. So we would, it's amazing. It's been done by our sponsors, Master Picture Framers. So, Matt, we were hoping, we had a chat to Earl a couple of weeks ago, maybe we could get you guys down to our last season function and we could present the season raffle to the winner, possibly.
Have to have a look at the dates and things like that, but yeah, look, it's great to have a jumper with the Big Duke. He's a great friend of mine. We catch up and throw barbs at each other very regularly. He's a 200 game player in the AFL and a fantastic player. I was watching the grand final a little while ago again, reminiscing, and I'm just amazed how well he played that game. He was on fire. Luckily, he kicked left foot most of the time because his right foot stinks a bit. But yeah, great raffle, great to raise money, and it's an honour to actually be on the jumper with him.
Oh, well, Matt, we do have to wrap it up there. And on behalf of the entire WA Blues community, we thank you very much for sharing your precious time with us. And as always, go Blues.
Go Blues. Thanks for having me. And, yeah, hopefully we can raise a heap of money for the club with the raffle.
Thanks so much, Matt.
Thanks, Matt.
No worries. Thanks, guys.
Awesome. Matt Clapper, hey?
Really good chat. You know, it was very interesting to hear about, you know, him explaining into detail about the day he got drafted by the Blues, because it really sort of added a bit more context about how Adelaide were really keen on him, North Melbourne as well. So it's easy enough to just see, oh, yes, he was picked up by Carlton, but it's the lead into that as well and all the subplots that go with it that made it, you know, extremely captivating. And just to see what he put together at the Blues in the 58 games, the double the games he played then at the West Coast Eagles, and then to see him as well in his first season at Carlton win a premiership in arguably one of the greatest teams of the, you know, the VFL, AFL era as well in 1995 to, you know, win as many games as they did, you know, it's just phenomenal.
Yeah, it's great. It's great. But we do need to mention our awesome WA Blues function that we're going to be having on Friday afternoon. We've got a Friday night game and we take on Essendon. If Brownie was here right now, he'd be firing up and saying some words, but I will leave that to him next week, hopefully when we've beaten them and we can come in here and rub it in. But we will be at the Carlisle Hotel and Distillery in Carlisle. Come down, all Blue Baggers. Like I said last week, we had an amazing function. $7 pints, $10 kids' meals, awesome food and delicious homemade gin. So everyone get down to the Carlisle.
Should be great, Mel.
It's kicking off at 5 p.m, by the way.
Yes. Awesome. Yeah.
And now we just need to throw to our ad break and thank our sponsors.
Your WA Blues are the official Western Australia supporter group of the Carlton Football Club, established by Carlton in 1992. We regularly gather as one to watch live games of the Mighty Blues. Here, we provide a fully inclusive, family-friendly environment with raffles, auctions, but most importantly, watching the Mighty Blues play live. For more information on the WA Blues schedule of events and supporter services can be found on our website, wablues.com, Facebook, Instagram and Twitter. Go Blues! If it's your first home or if it's time to renovate, refinance or invest, ICU Finance Group is here to help make it happen in residential and commercial finance. Alton D'Souza, the sole director, is someone who shops around for the best loan features that are suitable to your individual circumstances. He will manage the process from start to finish. For every loan, Alton will donate $500 to Carlton Respects. Call Alton D'Souza now on 0407 998 768, ACL 441 658. We have been given the challenge to explain what Allmark, Perth's leading specialist in marking and identification, do in 30 seconds. Plaques, badges, laser cutting, stamps, workwear, trophies, promotional products, hats, caps, shirts, signage, engraving, stickers, screen printing, stencils, stubby holders, digital printing, honour boards, banners, awards, labels. Who are we kidding? They can do any custom job we want. Allmark, engrave, print, identify, Charles Street, North Perth.
When you want the highest quality meat with friendly service and value for money, only one name should come to mind. Barbaro Butchers. It's a name renowned in WA and across Australia since 1987. Their high standards, premium products and impeccable service is what sets Barbaro Butchers ahead of the rest. Delivering the highest quality cuts of beef, pork, lamb and chicken, they can even provide catering packages to suit your needs. Drop in and see Raff and the team at 120 Cockman Road in Greenwood or call 9247 4244. Barbaro Butchers, proud supporter of Breakfast with the Blues.
And they will know that they've been playing against the famous Old Dark Blues.
Welcome back. You're listening to Breakfast with the Blues, hosted by the WA Blues. It's now time to give a very big warm welcome to our great mate here at Breakfast with the Blues, 1987 Norm Smith medalist, premiership hero, and the man that personifies everything that Bleeding Blue means, as we barrel shoulder first into the shirt front. Good morning, David. Good morning, hi.
G'day, how's it going?
Good.
Yeah, very good, very good. Just on my way to doing a little bit of horse riding this morning, so heading out there, taking Cooper for a ride.
Oh, awesome. And just touching on that, how is the fundraising? Like, how did you finish up with the 15-15 challenge?
Yeah, it wasn't bad, and we created a lot of awareness over the period, the 15 days. So that was terrific. I think I think the donations were down a little bit, but then again, this time last year, I think everyone was sitting at home and had nothing to spend their money on. So, down a little bit, but people could still donate, so the page will be open for a little while longer. And
And we'll also... Sorry, I was just going to say, I know the Cheer Squad have got the raffle going at the moment, and all the Carlton Cheer Squad is donating everything back to the Pride of Willie. You there, Hive?
Can you hear me?
Yep, we got you. We got you back, yep.
Yeah, sorry. I'm just out of country a little bit here, but not too far away from the metropolitan area. But anyway, terrific with Hamish. She organised a jumper and a football to auction off, and it's terrific. The Cheer Squad's getting behind that as well. So,
well, I've got my tickets. I hope everyone gets theirs as well.
it's all going to a very good cause too. And thanks very much yourself, Mel, for doing your bit for it too and helping out.
Hey, I'm feeling good. Like the push-ups have been, I thought I was going to die, but it's come good. But Hive, we've got to talk.
I did the push-ups the first year and never again.
Hive, we've got to talk about last Sunday, and we went down very closely, and what a final quarter that was.
Yeah, look, and it was one of those games where we could have pinched it, but we didn't deserve to win, if you know what I mean. So, and that in itself is a good sign that these guys, they're starting to enjoy winning games of football and getting used to winning. And we haven't been like that for a very, very long time, where we've played, poorly. And obviously, we didn't play poorly, but...
Oh, you there, David? I think we...
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Yep.
Okay, sorry, it's dripping in and out, is it?
A little bit.
But I was just saying about, the fact that we didn't play that well and we still almost won. If Walsh had got a free kick in that last little bit, we could have pinched it, but which in itself is a good sign. They didn't give up at any stage, and we just going down was a huge blow for us. And when you look at any football team and you look at them without their best backman, their best forward, and their number one ruckman, and tell me how they're going to win a game, then we nearly did.
It's exciting. We talked about it just a little bit earlier in the show, just to know that we still have some sustainability. We've got some substance to us. It's like even without those, important players. And I think, Yuri and I were just discussing the new recruit Durden and how important more size is to the team.
Yeah, look, and he was a high draft pick going back a while, but. And he seems like he's matured a bit. And sometimes, players take a little bit longer. So hopefully he can fit in back there. But, it's a big ask too. But I think what it's also showing with our injury list at the moment is we've got some really good depth in our club at the moment. So we've got a pretty long injury list, but we're still very, very competitive out there.
Hi, just talking about Paddy Dow, because he played his first game of the season against the Pies. He'd been really... impressing in the VFL for Carlton's affiliate team. And we saw the second half of last season, he probably put together his best patch of footy in his short career. What about, this game against Collingwood? He had the 21 touches, the 6 kicks and the 15 handballs. What about his game that you assessed that he thought he did well in, and then other areas that, he may need to work on as the season moves on?
Yeah, look, I thought he did okay. He's probably got to get a little bit more damaging, and that by that he's either got to pick up in a defensive area of the game and become a lockdown type of player, or he's got to hit the scoreboard. And they're the things he's really got to look at if he's going to push in. Because as we get some of these midfielders back, Kennedy and so forth, someone's going to get pushed out, and he's probably on the chopping block as it stands now. So. When you get these opportunities like he did last week, you just got to grab them and really run with them, and sometimes even be a little bit selfish, I suppose, and pick up as many kicks and possessions and impress. He really needs to impress. So I think he needs to take that next step to stay in the team, but but he was you know, more than handy.
Mel and I, early on the show, Dave, touched on about Jacob Wiedering's AC injury against the Magpies during the first quarter in that collision with Jordan DeGoes. Well, just what about the spine, especially the nucleus, starting with Wiedering in the back line as well? How much of it's going to have an impact as well, considering we're missing Oscar McDonald for the rest of the season with a back issue, and Jeremy McGovern, who, you know, has had setbacks with his hamstring?
Yeah, look, it's crucial, and it's really going to stretch us. And, you know, young Parksy is a backman as well, who's injured now for quite a while. So McDonald, obviously, not going to play this year. So, it's going to be tough. It's going to be really tough, and it's going to stretch us. And it's going to show the resilience of the group, and also the it's more I think the depth, and that's what's impressed me so far. The guys who have come in have been, you know, Paddy Dow, you know, more than handy, and you know, probably play with, you know, be getting regular footy with quite a few other teams. So yeah, it's going to stretch us, but that's part and parcel. I look at this year, and I've said a lot of times to a lot of people that enjoy this year and enjoy the good things that are going to come out of it, because we're not going to be a premiership threat this year, but next year is really going to be the year that we can really have a crack at it.
It's exciting times, isn't it, Haifa? I haven't had the luxury of being, you know. You know, I'm not going to give away how old I am, but Yuri, you'd be in the same position. We haven't been in this.
Same, no. I've only been following the Blues for probably the last, you know, 14 years. And I reckon the first time I sort of felt this sense of optimism within, you know, the Carlton Football Club was going back to 2011, when we should have made the prelim final against Geelong.
Yeah, look, it really has been tough. There's a generation of people who haven't seen any success, you know, and very little finals football. So, you know, and the ones that are a bit older have obviously been spoiled over years, you know, the people who got to watch through the 60s and 70s and 80s and so forth, you know, really got spoiled with premierships.
I was really impressed, with Adam Sardi. Like, he was my favourite for the day on Sunday. I think he really stepped it up, and we need him to keep playing alongside Chera, because that's just gonna, well, we need it, Hive. It's just
Well, Adam Sardi is a star. He's an out-and-out, you know, really, really dominant halfback, and the way he runs the football and uses it, you know, I thought he was the best player on the ground last week. I don't think he got the votes, but he would have got my vote. So I thought he was sensational and really helped us. But he, the other thing is his defensive mindset too, because his closing speed and his ability to get there and spoil. You know, when he's, you know, he gives his opponent a couple of metres, but he always knows, you know, he's always got him in his sights and can always get that spoil on or intercept mark.
And Hive, how do you think we're going to match up against the Bombers on Friday night?
Well, they're going to get a few back. You know, they'll get Stringer and a couple back, so they're going to be a bit stronger. And these are going to be, you know, it's tough matches. And you know, the way we're playing, you say, well, we should win it against the way they're playing. But these matches do bring the best out in, you know, both teams, I think. And so it's going to be a tough game. You know, and as I said, we're going in without our number one forward, our number one ruckman, and our number one backman. So you know, it's going to be tough over the next few weeks. But these guys have shown they're pretty resilient at the moment. They get behind Cripper and Vossi as our leaders, and they've been good. They've been very, very good, and they haven't given up the ghost in one game this year, so it's been good.
Half, in the lead-up to the season, you know, the predictions about the Blues probably narrowly just finishing outside the top eight, or even, you know, getting into the top eight. Through the first, you know, half of the season, sitting 8-3, sixth on the ladder after Geelong's win over the Western Bulldogs last night as well, what type of record would have you taken for the Blues through the first 11 rounds, especially, you know, I definitely think we've exceeded expectations at 8-3.
I would have taken 6-5, to be honest, at the start of the year, but no, they've really been good, and you know, our midfield's really been the key to it, and so you know, as long as we can keep our midfield strong, I think we're going to be very, very hard to beat. But, gee, you'd hate another injury or two over the next few weeks because that'll really put us back.
We've got, like, but, you know, 11 on our injury. Is it 11 or 12?
I think it's about 11 when I looked last night at the injury list as well. And just one thing, Hyfe, about the injury list too, it's the key personnel. Zach Williams, we thought, did his Achilles again against his former side, GWS. We're sort of thinking, oh no, it's all for the worst. And then luckily it's only, 10 to 12 weeks. Jeremy McGovern, we touched on, Mitch McGovern, shall I say, we touched on out for 10 to 12 weeks with a hamstring as well. Oscar McDonald with the back. Luke Parks, you mentioned as well, Hyfe as well. He's out still for like another 9 to 10 weeks. So it's a lot of, that spine nucleus of, players who'd been our best 22 that are missing, and still we've been able to cover it.
Yeah, that's what you got to look at. You look at that injury list and say, who are the players who would be in our best 22? And there's quite a few of them there. So, I think I counted about six or seven the other day who would be, in our best 22. So, it really does show you something then. And look, let's hope, Marchbank come back too. I mean, he's on the cusp of it as well, and people forget how good a footballer he is, and because he's been missing for so long. So, hopefully he can slot into that back line as well.
Well, my first thought when I saw Witters go down is like, okay, well, let's bring in Murkoff, but then he's injured as well. It's like, come on, guys, we just have we're having no luck at all. But
it's like big blokes, and our midfield's basically carrying us at the moment. So it's been tough, but that's resilience is a word that I think they're using a lot down the footy club at the moment, and you have to be that way, because things don't go your way all the time, and you're going to have setbacks. So you just need to put up with them, and that's what the good teams do.
And I think with Vossi, I think there's something really different with this side, and I think there's some real grunt and real passion, and I just hope we can just keep sticking it.
Yeah, well, I was actually talking to Mark Arcieri the other day, former North Melbourne and Carlton player, kicked that famous goal against Footscray. We were the only goal that day, but back, was that about 89 or something? And I didn't blow that day, thank Christ. But, I was talking to him. His daughter goes out with Lockie Fogarty, and he was saying that, he said, when Vossi speaks, he said the hairs on the neck sort of stick up. They just want to go and run through a brick wall. So that's the type of, influence he has got, and the standing he has got in football as well.
Well, Dave, we do have to wrap it up there, but as always, for all of us that bleed blue, we would really like to thank you for you donating your time to us every week, and as always, go Blues.
Yeah, well, we're not going to get beat this week. That's one good thing. We can relax and take it easy and do whatever we have to do and worry about Essendon next week.
Enjoy your horse.
All right, go the Mighty Blues.
Enjoy
Thanks,
your
guys.
Horse ride.
Thanks, Hyfe.
Thanks, guys.
Cheers.
It's freezing over here too. See you, guys.
See you, Hyfe. Oh, as always, our champion, our mate, David Rhys-Jones, we can't thank him enough. He donates his time every week to give us the shirt front. So thanks very much, Hyfe. Guys, we just need to really squeeze in our function we have coming up. We have Friday night. We are going to be kicking off at 5 o'clock at the Carlow Hotel and Distillery. We are also going to be holding a function for the Eagle pregame function at the Camfield for the Eagles game we have coming up as well. We also need to shout out again to Matt Clappay who mention our season raffle. Like I said, we have a 1995 signed Guernsey by Matt Clappay and Earl Sporting. So that has been framed by Master Picture Framers, the absolute champions, Blair and Maria out there, that have done an amazing job of that. So you can get, it's $10 a ticket, and you can get them at any of our events. So everyone, make sure you get behind the WA Blues and get your raffle tickets and get down to the Carlisle on Friday night.
Should be an absolute ripper again, Mel, and just seeing, again, we spoke about at the top of the show, the optimism, that's at the Blue Bag, is at Icon Park for the first time in a very long time. And I reckon since about 2011 is really the first time I felt, this sense of optimism, about the prospects of, hopefully make a deep run in the finals. You never know.
Oh, all right, guys. Well, we need to wrap it up. And once again, thanks to Hive and Matt Clappe for being on the show with us today. Thanks, Yuri, for
stepping in.
Thank
you, Mel, for having me. I really appreciate it. It's been great to be back on the airwaves and chat all things the mighty Navy Blues.
As always, go the Baggers.
Go the Blues. And they will know that they've been playing against the famous Old Blues.